Good morning. First, as always, I'd like to thank God and the Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege of standing before you and sharing his word. And I also want to thank Ryan for asking me. So the title of this teaching is Believe. Believe what? Believe God or have the believing God has. So I want you to turn to... that's the wrong page. Oh, and I needed to show you this because sometimes you go to a football game and you will see this sign somewhere. I'm hoping they can see it online. It says believe. You will see this somewhere in the stands. And what that means is they want you to believe that their team's going to win. Well, it doesn't matter if they believe or not. But what I wanted to share was on believing and where true believing comes from. So let's go to Hosea 4 first. And you're thinking, why would he use this verse to start a teaching on believing? But it is, I thought I had it marked in my Bible. Sorry. Oh, it's marked in my other Bible. I'm getting there. That's what happens when you don't. Hosea. First mistake already. No. Chapter 4, verse 6. And I'm just going to read the first part. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." That was true then, and it's true today. Because a lot of people... good Christian people who love God do not come to his word to see what he thinks they should be believing. So what I wanted to do first was I have several definitions of believing. And I'm just going to read them to you. And obviously we don't want to be in that category of being destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? Okay, it's on this side. All right. So this definition is from Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. It's really a good piece of work if you don't have one. You can get one online for like $50. And it shows you verses in the Word where these words are used. And that's what's so cool about it, because he goes back to biblical usage, which is what we need to do as believers when we work the word. So the definition, the number two definition in the book is evangelical, meaning, you know, about God's word. So here's the definition. It says, "Justifying or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of the divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will, of the approbation of the heart, and entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and the character and doctrine of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance, and dependent on his merits for salvation." And it says, in other words, I guess I could have read this instead of the long one, but I like that. I think it's really cool. In other words, the firm belief in God's testimony and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ's salvation. Man, that's pretty neat. In Glimpses of Truth, issue 19, page 10, So you can look this up if you have these. This is another definition that he gave to believing, Reverend Gear. Believing is information received, information accepted, and information carried out. So that's believing. And there's also another definition, and this states faith in, believing in, acceptance of someone, or faith in, believing of, acceptance of information and or instructions. Now, I know that's a lot, so you can listen to the teaching if you didn't get it all, because I know that's a lot to write down. So anyway, so with these definitions in mind, let's go to the Word and see what the Word says about believing. What does the Word say? Not what do I think, not what my pastor thinks. Love you all. Not what anybody else thinks, but what does he say believing is all about and how to do it? So let's go to, I'm going to read much of this stuff out of the Working Translation. So, because it's translated much better than just the good old King James. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And this translation is just tremendous. Verse 6. It says, now without believing, and remember, part of that definition is without faith in or confidence in, it's impossible to please God. And the word God is actually in italics there, but that's true. For he who approaches God must believe, have confidence, faith in, that he is, and in brackets he's got exists. So you got to believe there's a God before you could go anywhere to please him, and that he becomes a rewarder of those who seek him. That's just tremendous. Believing in or acceptance of. So it's impossible to please him unless you seek what he says and you put it in your heart and mind and carry it out. That's something. That's something. So everybody, well, I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. Do you? Because if you do, you go to the Word, you put the Word in your mind and heart, you carry it out. That's believing. That's all it is. It's that simple. God had to make it simple because we're simple people. You know? We need to first accept his information, then we can believe him. We must also believe that he exists. Without both of these, you cannot please God. It's not available. That's what the verse is telling you in Hebrews. Okay, please turn to Luke 17:5. Now, I obviously ain't going to read this out of the Working Translation because those aren't out yet, but they're coming. The Gospels. Luke 17. And this is really a neat verse. As I was working this, I was like, wow, this is cool. Luke 17, verse 5. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith, our believing, our acceptance. Well, if you read it, Jesus Christ never reproved them for asking for that. So it must be available to do that. Right? That's common logic. So what I want to do is show you how this works, how you can increase your believing and trust and faith or whatever you want to use in God and his ability and in his ability in you. So let's turn to turn to Romans 10, verse 17. From the Working Translation. Okay. Romans 10:17. So, the right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or the Word concerning Christ. Is actually the text concerning Christ. And the reason that's the right way of believing is because the article the is there. So the right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you want to believe rightly, you've got to come to God's Word, and you've got to rightly divide God's Word, or you don't have the right way of believing. And God should know what to believe. You know, one of the things to remember is we should not be so foolish as to think we wish there was another way, because there is no other way. God said it, that settles it. That's it. So, and I was thinking, isn't it great that God gave us something to believe? I mean, he could have just left us on our own, but he didn't. That's really cool. So for those who want to reject Jesus Christ, who want to reject God's Word, that's their choice, but it's foolish, because this Word of God's going to stand throughout eternity. It stood the test of time all the way through, thus these, you know, in 2025. And it will stand the test throughout all of it. So it behooves us as believers to come to the Word, let the Word speak, and then do what it says, whether we like it or not. Because there are times where you may walk and talk, you know, be walking and talking with God, and God will tell you to do something, and you'll go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, you know what? You have free will not to, but that's foolish, because you want to carry out the right way of believing that he has given for you to believe. And sometimes it, you know, Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's twofold, and a lot of people miss what's there. Number one, the written word. Number two, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the story of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. Those come out of the mouth of God. You got to live by both the Spirit and the Word. Both. Without living that way, you won't live in the victory God wants you to live in. Let's put it that way. So so we got to hear what God's Word is saying, because that is the answers to all of life. Whether it's written or he speaks to you directly, that's still an answer. Go to Romans chapter 12. I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, you know, and this is off the subject, but I'm just thinking about it right now. You know, God doesn't answer all your prayers. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I prayed about this and I didn't get it. I said, that was your answer. He looked at me and went, what? I said, your answer was no. Jesus Christ went to God three times, if I remember, in the garden. Is there another way? Now remember, he was a man. No man in their right mind would want to go through what he went through physically, much less mentally. And yet, after the third time, which is really interesting, that he asked God three times. Usually after the first time, you just go, okay. But in that situation, I get it. And he knew, he lived in a culture where they crucified people. He knew what they did to him. He wasn't stupid. And he read the scriptures. And that poor guy, he just looked at me and I said, well, you just didn't like his answer. And that's the problem. You got to line your will up with his. And he went, oh. So in Romans 12, chapter 12, and people forget that. This is God's will. This right here is what he wants you to do. That's it. Just the word of God. It's really that simple. That's an accepting and believing, which means you carry out whatever it is he says, like this, these three verses we're going to look at here. Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God. Notice it doesn't say hellfire and brimstone. Notice it doesn't say you got to do this. Doesn't say that. And yet how many people think God's a mean God, that if you don't do this, that's not what this says. He's begging us to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. Do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove to who? To yourself. So you may prove to yourself. Now, that's not written there. But who are you proving it to? You're not proving it to the world. You're proving it to you. What is the good, well-pleasing, and mature will of God? So it's mature to renew your minds. That's pretty neat. So you want to grow up and be a strong Christian, you're going to have to do what this says. If you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to. And man, once I realized that I have my free choice, I have the right to believe what I want to believe, even if it's not God's word, I still have a right to believe it. It really set me free, because it wasn't like, oh my God, you better do this or else. That isn't how God operates. He's very loving. Verse 3. So by the grace of God that was given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think beyond what you ought to think, but to think with sober thinking according as God has distributed the measure of the foundation for believing to each of you. He's given a foundation to believe to each person in the world once they hear God's word. I mean, it's still there anyway, even if they don't hear God's word. So what is the foundation? Go to Acts 17. And this here is the it's the reason Walter translates it this way instead of measure of faith is because it's a figure of speech, metonymy. This is also used in Acts 17. In verse 31, it says, well, let's read verse 30. So having overlooked the times of this ignorance, talking about the context, God now charges all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. Change your mind and put on the word. Change your mind and do what the word of God says. Because he has set a day in which he is to judge the world with justice by the man. Notice it doesn't say the God man. It doesn't say God. Which is, when I really understood Jesus Christ is going to be the judge over everything because God gave him that authority. Wow. He's a man. He's still a man. He's just got a spiritual body. He's still a man. People forget that. But look at this. By the man whom he determined. I think God has a right to determine whatever he wants to because of who he is. You know, we have no right to demand anything from God. We can ask. We can say, can you please help us? But demanding, that's the wrong attitude of heart. But look at this. Whom he had determined, having given to all people the foundation for believing. Here it is. I'm not making it up. It's right here in the Word. In that he raised him from the dead. That's what separates Jesus Christ from every other man that's ever lived. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. They're all dead. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, seated, doing his thing, whatever he does up there. I don't know. But then he's also born within each and every one of us, doing his thing that way. That's pretty neat. And he wants to work in each and every believer as they allow him to. He doesn't force himself on you. He doesn't beat you up if you don't do what he says. He may tell you something and you may not do it ever. That's your choice. But the right way of believing is to do what he says. And that's to carry out what's given to you. So this is also the figure of speech, metonymy. And it's the word in the King James is, yeah, assurance, thanks. And that's the same word, that's pistis. But by the figure of speech, metonymy, it is what God has given to be believed. That God raised him from the dead. That is such a huge deal. The world may not ever go, yeah, okay. The Word says, this man is going to do the judging, even of those people in the world who reject him. They're going to have to stand before him in light of the right way of believing, because this is what God set to be the right way of believing. That's really neat. Go to Romans 14:1. And as I was working this, I was like, wow, this is kind of neat. Because sometimes people, you'll run into believers or even people that are, you know, they're Christians, but they just don't believe what we understand. And so how are you supposed to treat them? Well, you're supposed to walk in love. But Romans 14 gives you, it's pretty neat the way Walter translates it. Romans 14:1. It says, beat the hell out of him who is, no. No, it doesn't say that. It says, be accepting of him who is weak in the right way of believing. People that are weak in the right way of believing do not need to be beat up. They need to be taught the Word. They need to know what the right way of believing is. But not unto this, the discerning of disputes is how he it translates. You don't want to argue with people about God. You know what? Chris says it in the foundational class. God's Word was not given to have intellectual, spiritual arguments. It was written, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. That's the whole reason for it. That's the whole reason for the Word. It isn't so, I know more than you, and boy, you better line up with this, or you're out of, you're, that's right. No, I'm not picking on you, Butch. Butch just, in my, he's right in my sight. But we got to treat, there are people who've been around for years, who've had power for abundant living, and who've had walking in God's power, had all these classes, and they don't want to do nothing with it. So what do? You beat the hell out of them? No, you love them with the right way of believing. And you need a little information from above, maybe. It's called walking with God. So I thought that was interesting, how that's in there. You know, and that's just the right way of believing. That's the way God wants it done. He doesn't want his children fighting. He wants his children loving each other. And sometimes it's hard when you look at the person, you tell them the truth, and they go, yeah, but. The yeah, but rabbit. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, there's no buts. It's God's Word. But isn't that neat that God covers that? He said, love my people, even when they're not walking in the right way of believing, even when they're weak in it. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for people like Earl and other men of God that loved me and showed me the right way of believing, I would probably be dead today because I needed the help. And that's the other side to it, you know, in light of the right way of believing. You need to realize you need help. You can't do it on your own. It's not possible. You need God. You need His Word. You need the manifestations. You need all of it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:5. There we go. I hope this is making sense to you. It's great that we have a right way of believing. It really is. You know? I mean, you know, when Adam blew it, Eve blew it, God could have just washed his hands and said, the heck with it, I'm going to create a new heavens and earth. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He so loved people. He went, okay, you screwed it up. Now I got the plan. I'm going to fix it. And for us, he always blows our mind with what he's done. You know, because we continue to grow in the Word. We continue to walk and talk with him to the best of our abilities. And yet, just about the time you think you got a corner on something, God goes, look at this. Boom! And you go, ooh, I didn't know that. Thank you. But he loves us that much. And he wants us to know him so deep and so intimately. Each person, he isn't this God up there that just sits up there and, well, you know what? I kind of like you, Jeanette. But Ron, you know, no, I like you too. No, I mean, each individual, it doesn't matter who it is. Once you've confessed Jesus as Lord and you believe God raised from the dead, you're his kid. And he watches out for his kids. Look at what he did with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Those guys weren't even born again. Some of them had spirit. Many of them didn't. They weren't children physically like we are. I mean, we're spirit, you know, we have a physical, we have a spirit inside that we're born again of. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians 2, right? Verse 5. So, it says, so that your believing would not be in the wisdom of men, and how the world pushes that. Oh, the world pushes wisdom of men. Well, this right reverend so-and-so, this PhD, what was it, piled higher and deeper? Guy, you know, he said this. Well, if it doesn't line up with the word, it doesn't matter. He's a liar, because God's truth. God's never lied. Jesus Christ never lied. Those are two. God bless you, Earl. Those are two you can rely on that will never lie to you, even when they talk to you. They will never lie. They're always out for our best interest, and we have to remember that even when if God talks to us or the Lord Jesus Christ talks to us, they may say something you do not like. You have to line up your mind with the will of God. That's the right way of believing, is the will of God. Either way, either whether it's written or revelation to you personally. So your believing would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where we want our believing. It's in the power of God. That's something. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 12. And I really like the way Walter translates this. It's so much clearer than the King Jimmy. Hebrews. Oh, that's going to be the other one. That's why I can't find it. It's not that much. Oh, boy, you got to laugh at yourself sometimes, you guys. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm getting there. Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 1, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about chapter 11, all those great men and women of God that walked and talked with God, encompassing us, let us strip off every impediment and entangling sin and run with patience in the contest lying before us. Now look at the way he translates this. Looking with undivided attention to the leader down the path and perfecter of the right way of believing, namely Jesus, who because of the joy lying before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame. It was a shame to be crucified, you guys. He knew it. He understood it. The culture, that was a really nasty cultural thing. But he disregarded it and sat down at the right side of the throne of God. Amen and hallelujah. I was a shouting Methodist, that shout. Anyway, look at that. Looking with undivided attention. What's that mean? That means you don't look at anything else. The world, people, things. Undivided attention to the leader down the path and perfecter of the right way of believing, namely Jesus. Now, here's an interesting thing here. Who, because of the joy laying before him, endured the cross regarding the shame and sat down at the right side of the throne of God. Now, I had been taught that this joy is you and me. I think it's bigger than you and me. Let me show you something in Romans 15. And I don't remember who taught me that, but that's what I was taught. And it bothered me for years because if it's just you and me, that ain't enough. But let's look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of the hope fill you with all joy and peace in the right way of believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I understand this verse and I understand Jesus Christ, the joy that was set before him was to do the will of God. Not just for you and me, but to do the will of God. That gave him joy and peace in his believing. I mean, just because this is written here doesn't mean that truth couldn't apply to him. But look at that. You want to know, if you don't have joy and peace, you want to know why? Well, the verse tells you. All joy and peace is in the right way of believing. So if you don't have the right way of believing, you're not going to have joy and peace. You're going to have confusion and chaos. Isn't that something? Now, maybe, God, look at that. Isn't that? The God of the hope. The hope, the only right one, the hope, he's coming back. I don't care if the world says he's dead. They're going to be surprised. He's coming back, and that's part of looking unto the author and finisher of the right way of believing, is looking unto the hope and never forgetting it. All you got to do is speak in tongues. That proves he's coming back. That proves to you. Isn't that cool that God gave us something like that? He gave us something because we're human. We need proof. I mean, none of us has seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. I don't think. I don't think any of you have seen him in the flesh. You know what I mean? In his resurrected body. But here it is. The God of the hope. All the other, my wife and I unfortunately have to go to a funeral. And we're going to hear all kinds of BS because it's a Catholic family. And we would appreciate your prayer for open doors to speak the truth of the word to these people. Unfortunately, Missy's sister fell asleep the other day. So, but anyway, this, the hope. He's coming back. Don't forget it. And if you do, speak in tongues, and that'll remind you. It will. Oh, yeah, that's right. He got it from dead. And if he got it from the dead, then he's seated at the right hand of God. If he's seated at the right hand of God, he's coming back. Because that's what God says. That's the right way of believing. See, Jesus Christ knew what he was doing. He knew what was coming. He also knew God would raise him. He also knew he was going to be seated at the right hand of God. There were things God showed him that none of us know. I mean, for a man to go through what he went through for almost 40 hours of beating, God had to reveal things to him to keep him strong, to keep him to be able to do what he had to do to carry God's will out. And that's why I said, I believe it's bigger than the joy that was set before him was because of you and me. It was because he did the will of God. And that was what brought him joy and peace in believing. Can you imagine being beat up all those hours, mercilessly, by men who knew how to hit you so hard, but not to break a bone? And yet he stood. He stood faithful. He walked. He did what God told him to do. And he got the reward. He got raised from the dead to die no more. And he's the first one to receive the promise of eternal life. God is already eternal. Jesus Christ wasn't. He was human. He was a man. That's how he could die. Because he was a human. God didn't die. So, in conclusion, you saw this sign. Now, believe God. So there you go. Thanks, Father, for the day and for your word. And thanks for giving us such a great word and for all your love and for helping us to grow in the right way of believing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.